Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Ready Your Future podcast, where you are equipped with the essential tools and knowledge to ensure you and your loved ones thrive through any crisis. Join me as we navigate the world of preparedness so you can safeguard your future and be your family's survival guide. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, a regular guy living in the suburbs trying to spread the word about getting prepared for the future. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. I'm glad that you are here hanging out with me on this one. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about mutual assistant groups or your bug out group or your get out of dodge group or your survival group, however you want to, whatever term you want to use to call that. And I'm going to let you know where I'm bouncing off of this from. So in our in the Ready Your Future exclusive email group, about twice a month, we get together on Zoom. We really started this not too long after we started the group. It was around during COVID, and just a place for people to be able to connect and really see kind of, you know, each other's face and talk about what was going on. At the very beginning, when we started that, we were talking about what kind of things we were seeing, like at the grocery stores, and what the local situation was like. And then from there, it just kind of grew into just meeting, you know, every 2 weeks and just talking about something in preparedness, whatever that might be. And sometimes people bring up ideas and we bring up topics and we just kind of go from there, whatever it might be. Throughout the years, there's been a lot of great conversation. And really, if you are new to preparedness or even if you have been in preparedness for a while, there are just so many topics and so many things out there that you probably don't know that you would gain a lot of quick information. And we've got a lot of people from all different kinds of walks of life, and they do all kinds of different things. And so we've got a really great group of people that get together. We have the regulars that come together every other week when we get together. And then there's people that, you know, kind of come in as they can come, but it's always really great conversation. So on this last one that we met, we talked about mutual assistance groups, and one of the members, and I'm always very careful not to share names because I didn't ask permission. He sent me an email and said, "Man, that really should have been recorded, and Todd, you could have used that as a podcast episode." And really, almost all of them could be recorded and used as a podcast episode, but you know, people want to make sure that, you know, some people, you know, we use names and different things like that, and we want to make sure that everyone feels or that they reveal themselves to the level that they want to reveal themselves to. So that's why we don't record them. But I believe he was right. And actually, before he sent that email, I was already thinking, you know what, this is probably a podcast episode that I want to talk a little bit about, because this is a topic that comes up a lot in, you know, people that will email me, or people, you know, want to find a group. People want to find a group that when the poop hits the fan, that they're able to connect with and they're able to join forces with, so that they have that mutual assistance, that survivability. So in this one, I decided to bounce off of a scenario and kind of go from there. So I gave everybody a scenario, and then there was questions that kind of were based off of that. And so I'll give you the scenario, and then we'll kind of go through the questions. And I always take notes, and so that I always share those out with the members that can't make the Zoom, so that at least they can see the notes and they can respond to those notes if they like. But for this purpose, I'm going to kind of bounce off of the notes that I took when we were going through this Zoom and talking about this scenario. So here's the scenario. You feel that Tiatwaki, or the end of the world as we know it, is coming soon. You have tried to look into joining other groups with no luck. You have decided to start your own MAG, or mutual assistance group. And so we kind of use that basis, that scenario, to kind of spark all the rest of the conversations. Now, before I jump into that first question, I think this is very real, because a lot of people, again, like I said, this is one of the things people want, and they're looking for groups, and there's a lot of issues that go into that. I know people in the past have linked up with other people, and things seem to go well for a while, but then somewhere along the line, things break down, and there's a lot of other things, and I've done other episodes on this, and I will try to find them and link to them. Hopefully they'll be in the description of this podcast episode. But if not, just know that I have done it before in the past, and you can go back and look for those. But this is a topic that people really want to hear more about, and they really want to work on. But that's the key, is that it takes a little bit of work. Just like anything that is valuable that you do in your life is going to take a little bit of energy. It's going to take a little bit of work from you. So again, the scenario, you feel that TL Waukee is coming. You've tried looking for to join another group without luck. You finally decide, you know what, I'm going to start my own. So the first question was this: as you choose or approach people to join your mutual assistance group, what type of person are you looking for? Now, this first question was about, we were looking for more like values, not necessarily skills. Because one of the things that everybody does when they start thinking about this is like, well, I need somebody who can do medicine. I need someone who is great with firearms. I need someone who is good with producing food and gardening and foraging. I need someone, you know, who is great with, you know, communications. You start listing all those things out, and then you start trying to fill that way. But that's probably the wrong way to do it, because you really need to fill from the places of value. So let's go ahead and start out here. So there was one response that said someone who fits into the group. You want your group to be cohesive. And that's important. And you know that probably from dealing with any other group that is out there. When you whether it's at work, whether it's in sports, whatever it might be, if you have a group and the people are not working together as a team, there's divisiveness on, you know, in the group. It's not going to last, right? I mean, that's biblical. You know, a house divided amongst each other will not last. And so that's very important. So you want your group to be cohesive, and you want to find people that are going to fit into the group easily. There needs to be a common base set of values, the values and the principles. And some of these might be, and then you can kind of add your own, but you need to really think through this. So one is, are they willing to work, or are they only wanting to sit and get? And we've all read those dystopian novels, or there's always, you know, some guy who just wants to sit around and be lazy and not do any work and not contribute. And those are not the type of people that you want in your mutual assistance group. So the value is like, hey, the people that are coming and that they're going to be part of this group, that are they willing to work? Are they willing to do what needs to be done for the good of the group and for the survivability of the group? The other one is the core values, right? Are they honest? Are they people of faith? Maybe they're politics. Are they people of integrity? And you might have varying levels of all those. You might be able to say, I can deal with someone who's different, who their politics are a little bit different, if they are a person of faith and they're honest and they have integrity. Or I can deal with someone who maybe doesn't have the faith that I have, but if they're honest and they walk in integrity, I can deal with them. So those core values are really going to be dependent on who you are and what is important to you. And you need to make sure that those people are, you know, that they have those values. And there needs to be a way that you vet that in one way or another. Then the other thing that came up here is, can they communicate? So, you know, if there is a situation, if there's a problem going on, can they communicate with you how they're feeling, how things are going, problems that they might be having? Because there's one thing to communicate when you're in the poop hit the fan situation, but leading up to that, you have somebody in your group and then you're trusting them to be part of your group. Can they communicate? Something that goes along those lines are, can you speak easily with them? Are there somebody, you know, is there somebody that you can relate to and you're able to, not only can they communicate, but can you speak easily with them? Can you, you know, get points across? Is it always going to be a fight when you are having a conversation? Another point is teachability. You know, that was one of the things that someone said that I thought that was a really great one is, okay, people are going to come. People might not have all the skills that they need, but are they willing to learn and you know, get through it and push through? especially in a situation where you're talking about it's dire and, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it. There's going to be things that people are going to have to do that they're not going to want to do. It's not going to be in their wheelhouse naturally, but are they willing to learn and move forward with it? Are they someone who can help? Are they a follower, right? You can't have all chiefs. You can't have all leaders in your group. You've got to have some people that are going to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to get this done. I'm going to follow. I'm going to help out. I'm going to have that helpful, that willing spirit to come alongside and help out. Along those lines, there needs to be some sort of governance so people would fall in line. So if there was ever a situation where people didn't, you know, there was an issue, there had to be some kind of governance that had it over the group that everyone would agree to. And then we love brains and we love talent, right? Those are very important things. And a lot of the times people in preparedness, what I have found are they are older people and they do have that wisdom, but we're also going to need youth. We're going to need that strength. We're going to need that muscle. So that kind of plays into it as well. And then lastly is people that can understand individual responsibility versus social responsibility. Right now we are in, and if you think about all the things that are happening on the colleges and all the things, the protests and the things that are happening right now, we have a lot of people that believe in social responsibility. I got to do this to be good and all that kind of stuff. But we really have left out the individual responsibility. I got to do this because this is the right thing to do. I got to do this because I need to handle what I'm responsible for. I need to do this because I've got a family, you know, family members depending on me, and you know, I got to go ahead and take care of myself because no one should be taking care of me. I should be taking care of myself, so I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of myself. So that's a really big shift especially when we're talking about younger people right now, is that move from social responsibility to individual responsibility. So then we jumped into talking about another question. And the second question was this: your mutual assistance group is going to be made up of different people with different skill sets. What are the most important skill sets that someone joining your MAG should possess? So we kind of went down like, you know, if someone joined our group, what would we want them to come with? And so one of the first ones that came up was power generation. You want to get back to some sort of technology, right? So technology is a force multiplier a lot of the times. If you are, you know, in the end of the world as we know it, but you have, you know, batteries that can be recharged and you have solar panels and you have all these things that are there, but you don't know how to hook that all up and you don't know how to, you know, harness the sun to be able to charge batteries, to be able to have lights, then, you know, what good is that? But if you're able to charge your lights, if you're able to charge your radios, if you're able to have power tools, all those things are force multipliers, and it makes a big, big difference. So you want to be able to have that. So somebody that can deal with power generation, not just solar and not just, you know, generators and all that, but even, you know, one of the things that would be a dream for me is being able to do wood gas, right? Is being able to change that. And there's some people that are out there that can do that, but not everybody. You'll see that on YouTube, and you'll see people making those types of things. But you know, having a vehicle that can run on wood gas, or a tractor that can run on wood gas, or just being able to charge things, you know, because you're able to use wood gas, I think that would be a very powerful thing. Another skill would be anyone who is a builder or a carpenter or an electrician. You think about the skills that are the kind of those trade skills right now. Those would be very important, right? Usually the people that are builders and carpenters and electricians, they're very savvy and they're very creative. And so they could use a lot of things and see things and make things work that a lot of people wouldn't naturally see. So you want somebody like that. definitely want somebody that has medical experience. That's always important, I think. So having medical would be important. For me, one of the big deals is religious or faith. You know, you want to have somebody that could help guide in the spiritual matters. And so that's one thing that I feel it would be very important to me. And that's one thing that I feel like I would excel. Of course, the gardening and the, you know, the firearms and all the other things that play in a part that I would want to be a part of, that would be a part two. But I would think that would be one of the big things that would be important for me, or at least for a group that I'm involved with. Then what about the techie people, the people that are into ham? And so not just your Baofengs, but able to connect to, bigger antennas, use bigger antennas and have, use more power to be able to communicate in farther distances. And so having people that know how to do all that, the different megahertz and the different, having the different channels that you would use, I think that would be important. People that were gardeners or fishing or hunters or foragers, people that could bring food into the group. I think that would be, really, you need people that can do that. And then really, that needs to be a skill set that everyone learns to be able to bring enough food into. Because, you're going to stockpile food, but eventually that's going to run out. You want people that are able to bring in food to the group. And then someone, who is willing to use firearms. Not someone who is just like your tactician and whatever, your Navy SEAL, Army Ranger, but someone who is just willing to use firearms. There's a lot of people out there that, we have a lot of firearms here in the United States, and I know there's a lot of people that listen from other countries, and your country might allow you to have firearms as well. But there's a lot of people who won't use them, a lot of people who aren't comfortable with. And then when you think about shooting somebody else, they would it wouldn't be easy for them to do. But you would need to have somebody who's not afraid of firearms, someone who is willing to defend the group if necessary. Another question was, okay, you start building this group. And you start building, you got a couple of people that are joining. Maybe you have a couple of couples or families or whatever. How do you ensure that these people that are joining your mutual assistant group are actually a good fit? Before you start laying it all out there, before you start making the plans for the end of the world as we know it, how do you start to vet them? You can come and like, hey, let's do a survey, right? You can do an interview, you can meet for coffee, but there needs to be a little bit more. So one of the things that somebody said that I thought was pretty interesting, that they actually do this with the group, is they just go camping, right? They go camping. And when you go camping, you're able to see people in that different. It's one thing if you meet at a restaurant or you meet at a coffee shop or you meet at somebody's house. But when you go camping, if you're not camping with an RV or whatever, you start to see things, because undoubtedly something's not going to go well, right? Somebody's tent stake is going to, tent pole is going to break. Somebody's not going to be happy. Someone's going to get sick, or they're going to things just aren't going to. The food is going to be eaten by a raccoon. There's all different kinds of things that can wind up happening. And so one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting is this person said, you start seeing a group within a group. You start seeing the people inside of the group and what they're capable of doing. And you start seeing those things of like you're able to build something, or you're able to see things another way, and you're able to, that tent pole breaks, so they're able to rig a way for the tent to stay up. Or, you have problems with your generator, or you have problems with your batteries, or you have problems or your flashlights or whatever. And so someone comes to help and they're able to fix those types of things. Someone, is upset and they're really, kind of throwing the whole group in for a loop. Then someone else is able to come in and kind of calm down that situation and has that gift of gab, right? Or that gift of being able to just calm down and bring peace to a situation. So you start to see a group within a group. And then those people are the people that you probably want to bring a little bit closer to you. But you really can't get away from the fact that you're going to have to spend time with people to get to know them. You're going to have to see these people on a regular basis, right? And so it's going to be one of those things. More than likely, your mutual assistance group and the people that you're bringing around, those are going to be, they should be some of your closest friends. I mean, it doesn't mean like you have to spend Christmas and all the holidays and all that kind of stuff, but they should be some of your closest friends, because if you're thinking about, you know, going to the end of the world with these people, you need to really know them and you really need to get to know them. I'll tell you, when we were, and just a little side note here, side story. When I was younger, we took a trip with some friends, family friends, and we were together in the same vehicle. They had a big van. We were together for a good week. And, you know, the relationship was strained because you see each other, you know, even if you spend a lot of time with each other, when you're living with someone and you're spending a lot of time, like you're in a vehicle with them and you get to see all different kinds of things and things that you might not like to see. And they see things in you that, you know, they might not like about you. And so that really needs to happen so that these people get to know you and you get to know them. Right. You can just ask. This is a strategy. You can just ask, what are your thoughts about blank, and then see what they would say, you know, and you just have a conversation that would open the door a little bit as you're going. And maybe it's not one of those things where you're sitting around the table. Maybe you're sitting around the table and just drinking coffee, but maybe it's after a long night of, you know, or long day of camping and you're around the fire and you're just bringing up certain topics that might give you a little bit of insight. But you can always just ask, hey, what are your thoughts? You want to observe how they live their life right now, how they carry themselves. Are they lazy? How do they take care of their own home and family right now? Because those things, when you get to a stressful situation, right, the negative, just, you know, the bad stuff comes out even more so. There was a vendor that I was dealing with, and I didn't like the way that they did something. And I was really upset with them. And they were like, hey, come on, you know, let's move forward. And I promise you that we won't have this situation in the future. And my comment to them is, if you're already having problems when you're dating, you're really going to have a lot of problems when you're married. And that's one of those things that, you know, you can kind of take that with you in relationships when you go out there and you're looking for people to join your mutual assistance group. One of the things when you're talking about people when you're thinking about who joins your mutual assistant group is asking that question, like, what would it be better to have a single leader or a council kind of making decisions? And we talked a little bit about governance and having some kind of governance, but then the people that would join your group and have that, you know, be that good fit. If they are going to be that leader type, you know, if you are the leader and they are that leader type, are they going to be able to fall in line? But the governance part is going to be a real big thing to decide. So if it's a council, how would you solve disagreements? You know, you would need to have some kind of process put in place beforehand so that when the poop hits the fan, you're not trying to figure all those things out. And even before the poop hits the fan, you can already be making decisions as a council, you know. You can already kind of use that moving forward. And then as you're doing that, you can see how things take shape. You can see how things move forward. People that are on the council, the council that's making decisions, after a decision is made, and again, this is before the poop hits the fan, how does it play out afterwards? Is there infighting? Are people not happy with the way things went down? They might be unhappy, but they go with it because they know it's for the better good and everyone's going to just keep moving forward. Or is it they're not happy and then they're trying to undermine the whole situation? If it's just one leader, sometimes it can lend itself to tyranny, right? And so the thing is that it depends on where you're at and how it all plays out. I could see that if I was, I had my own property and I was bringing people onto my property, I could see where I could want to have a council, but at the same time, I would want to have the majority vote on that, because I wouldn't want someone to the council to say, hey, this is your property, but you can't be here anymore, right? That would be kind of weird. So that needs to kind of play out, and you need to kind of figure that out. If you do a council, it needs to be odd number, so there's not always a tie, right? So having an odd number helps to make sure that decisions are made and you're able to move forward. So just like I mentioned that, you know, if I had a survival group or a mutual assistant group and I had property, you know, that's another thing to consider. Where is the mutual assistance group? Where are they going to survive? They need a place to survive. Where is your group going to call home? So a lot of the times when I know that these groups are being formed and people talk about, well, we can all throw in our money together. We can pull our money together and we can buy property. Or someone comes along the line, maybe the person who owns the property, and says, hey, I'm building a mutual assistance group and we can all meet up at my property when the poop hits the fan. Kind of like the Patriots scenario. Actually, Patriots came up a couple of different times. I'll talk about that here in just a minute. But if you've never read the book by James Wesley Rawls, I mean, that's the idea. The guy has property and, you know, he has a group that, you know, they all wind up meeting there when the poop hits the fan. One of the things that came up is you might not necessarily need a place, because your mutual assistance group could be your house and your neighbors combined, right? It could be the people that live real close to you, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe the person across the street, and you decide to team up together. And so one of our members said that, you know, with his neighbor, both of them have a couple of acres combined, and then there's acres of woods, you know, behind them. And so that would work out really, really well in that kind of situation. Then the topic, and we talked a little bit about this, was, does a mutual assistant group need to be in the same location? Like, so how far is too far? So if you're not in the group right now, if, you know, we are in, you know, the Walking Dead type, you know, end of the world as we know it. Yeah. You want to be kind of close together. You're fighting off the zombies or the gangs from, you know, that are out there, the roving gangs. But if it's not that bad, how far is too far? Like, could someone be in your mutual assistance group that is in, the other street, right? On the next street over, or could they be in the next neighborhood, or could they be a couple of miles away, just as long as you can communicate and you're able to get to each other pretty quickly? So how far is too far? Can it be your neighbor? Can it be someone down the street? And that's something to think about. Again, I'll think a lot of the times when people think about mutual assistant groups and they think about survival groups, they think about going out to the country, they think about having some property, they think about having cabins, some kind of bunker, or some kind of, compound, whatever. That might not necessarily need to be the case. Your mutual assistance group could be four or five neighbors around you if you're really tight and you really know each other. Another question came up was, how will you communicate with your mutual assistance group? So as you see the end of the world as we know it, as it's approaching, meaning it's maybe time to get out of Dodge and head to the bug out location, or it's time to lock down, or it's time to, okay, this is, it's going down. How are you going to communicate? Well, if you have the internet, you can definitely all get on a Zoom. Right now, I think Zoom is a very powerful platform. I mean, we use it for our meetings. When we do our online meetings, I use it for a small group for church, And there's been plenty of times where I've been in a late meeting, leaving church or leaving work and starting my small group through my phone. And so you can do your Zoom through your phone. I think that is pretty great, right? So I think it's a powerful medium there. Hopefully one of the members said, hopefully we're not too paranoid that we can't communicate with each other. But you know, if you still have the internet, you still have phones and cell towers are up, you can call, you can text, you can email. One of the things here that you really need to consider and something to think about with your group is, what would be the red line? What would be the trigger? You need to decide that as a group of when to say, hey, this is when things go down, or hey, we are walking into some cautionary territory right now. Then let's, you know, you need to really have your head on a swivel and be ready for the next call that says, okay, it's time, you know, the poop is hitting the fan. So maybe some of those triggers are, in some of the members of the group provided these, like possibly when movements start to get restricted. So when the government starts saying you're locked down completely and you can't move, and not necessarily like it was at COVID where, you know, yeah, I mean, different states had different things. There was still a little bit of freedom, but when it was like really locked down, that might be a trigger for you. When the government starts to shut down certain aspects of society, that might be a trigger for you. When martial law starts getting tossed, you know, when the word martial law starts getting tossed around and talked about very seriously, that might be the red line. That might be the trigger for you. And then one of the last questions that we asked was, what are some non-negotiable rules that would be put in place for everyone in the mutual assistant group to agree to? And so we had a couple that came up, and one was no cannibalism. And that was, again, that was from Patriots, right? That was from that reference in Patriots where they see the guy that is two guys. You know, I believe it was in the wagon, if I remember correctly. They just went ahead and dealt with them. Another non-negotiable someone said was no recreational narcotics. You start taking recreational narcotics and you're not able to focus. You're not able to pay attention. You're not a part of or being able to really support the group. Everyone works, right? This is another non-negotiable. Everyone works unless you can't for some health reason. So for whatever reason, if you are sick, you got a fever, whatever it might be, you're in bed, okay, you can't work. But even if you are disabled, even if you're an adult but you are disabled, there are still things that you can do. Like maybe you're in a wheelchair. Maybe there are still, you know, things that you can do along the line. So everybody has to participate in some way. Everybody needs to work in one way or the other. And then another big one that came up was just no stealing and respecting other people's property. Because once that starts to happen, there's mistrust starts to kind of go through the group, and people start not trusting, and that breaks the group. It just breaks the group down and winds up hurting the group, and just people don't trust each other. And you really need, in a situation when we're talking about the end of the world as we know it, you really need to be able to trust each other and be there for each other. All right, guys, so let me go ahead and wrap it up. One of the things that is important for people in preparedness is eventually they get to this point. If the poop hits the fan, who can I rely on? Because we know that the lone wolf idea, that it's just not, is not reality for a lot of people. There are a few people out there that might be able to do that, but it's not reality for everyone. And then the other thing is like, okay, so I can't, what about just me and my family? Well, if you have a family, a big enough family, maybe you might be able to do that. It just kind of depends on where you're coming from. But if it's just like, you know, you four, you know, it's you and your wife or your spouse and you got two kids and that's it, you're going to need somebody else. So it's something to be thinking about. Like, where would you go to start forming this group? And a lot of people have wanted, like emailed me throughout the years, like, Todd, where can I go? What can I do? There are people out there, there are groups out there, but I'll tell you that I have always heard that things seem to be good for a little bit, but then it goes downhill. It's not something that's sustainable, not something you might be able to be in that group to learn some skills. You might get to know some cool people and get some good ideas. But as far as truly having a group that you can rely on, it doesn't usually pan out. But I always believe that the best group that you can have is the one that you form on your own. And I rather would have some people that are close to me and that I can trust in my group than someone who is all, that checks all the boxes in preparedness, that I have the medical person and I have the Navy SEAL and I have, the garden farmer, rancher, whatever, all these different things. I'd rather have people that I can trust and people that are close to me and people that are willing to hang in there through thick and thin than all those other things. Now, you throw all those other things on top of it, that is great, but there's a lot of things to consider here. So what about you? Are you creating a mutual assistance group for yourself? If you were to start thinking about doing that, who would you start to ask? Who would be your first person? How would you go about doing it? Would you say, hey, let's go on a camping trip together. Let's meet for some coffee. Let's, come over for dinner. Would it be some people that go to your church? Would it be your neighbors? Would it be people that you know from some other group that you're a part of? Like, if you needed to start tapping people and saying, hey, let's join forces to have this mutual assistance group, who would you tap? Who would be part of your group? Well, everyone, that is another Ready Your Future episode for you. I hope you enjoyed this one. Listen, if you want to join with or hang out with a community of very knowledgeable preppers, safe from all the algorithms of social media, come check out the Ready Your Future exclusive email group. We'd love to have you in the email. We'd love to have you in our online meetups. So this is an email group where you can ask questions, you can participate in discussions, and attend our virtual online meetups that happen twice a month. It is super, super affordable and well worth it. There's a link in the show notes, or you can visit readyyourfuture.com. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government, grid, or the grind. Until next time, live with no regrets and stay prepped and aware. Peace.